universalism, the syntax of oppression. All right, so just put that there. I'll come back to it having to do with the history of money. Do you remember where we covered that? Universalism, the syntax of oppression. Who remembers us talking about that in class?
I remember you mentioning it, but I don't remember what it was pertaining to.
Okay. Gonna have to take good notes, and y'all gonna have to review this recordings. because this is an advanced class and it's expected to get to it. You're advanced, it's a small group of students, you can get to it. Universalism, the syntax of oppression. Alright, it's from the book Urugu. The author is Marimba Ani. You're expected to know this. Alright, it will be on your test. If you don't know it, you're just going to blow that. Okay, now, what is that in relationship to? How many of you watch Money as Debt? Add up, y'all. Get some energy this morning. How many of you watch Money as Debt? You completed the video Money as Debt as was assigned.
I did.
Tevon Allende, y'all got to get on it. I'm sorry, you got to get on it.
You said Money as Debt?
Money as Debt, okay?
Okay.
All right, Abdullah, speak, son. Do not be. I don't want no junk. No, when I say have you read it, you either say yes, you have, or not. Okay. All right, you all are behind. Okay. Yes, I know you did. Thank you so much. In the video Money is Debt, they are using an allegory to talk about certain things, okay? And at one point, they say, this is how banking began. Well, this is where universalism, the syntax of oppression, comes in, and your awareness of it. That may be true of how European banking began. It is not true of every culture, every race, every people. Okay? Sure, son. That is not how banking started with everyone. Okay? So when they say this is how banking started, another way you'll hear that is mankind is just dog eat dog, for example, or this is just what human beings do. Okay? It's Europeans using their culture and using it to define what humanity does or what is. Write that down. Type it in the text chat, what I just said, as best you understand it. Give me the best you understood. First, I'll repeat it, but your job is to listen. That's why you can't be multitasking doing other things when I'm teaching this class, okay? All right? You got to show me what part you got, and I'll fill in the rest. But if you don't say you don't have any of it, that means you weren't paying attention. That's how I read it. So tell me, Allende, what you understood. Tell me, Tevon, what you understood. Nope, Allende, that is not true. It's the opposite. No, that's not what I said, Tevon. Gee whiz, y'all got to pay attention. Nima, you're right. Abdullah, what's your problem?
Nothing. I never said I didn't.
Listen, you supposed to write something or respond. Now do it. And I don't want to have you like this no more. I mean, when I ask you something, I expect for you to respond. I want you to do your best. No, listen. I ask you to repeat what you heard. How is it that everybody else did it and you didn't?
Because I never said ask you to repeat it. I already got what you said.
I didn't. It went beyond asking. I want you to write down there what you heard. I know you didn't ask me, and it went beyond that. And you got to pay attention as well. Type in the text chat what you heard me say. While he's typing, Allende, I did not say that. Okay. So if I'm white, and I say, and I'm talking about my culture, how white Europeans are, Okay. No, I didn't say that either. Abdullah. That's why I want you to type it in to see what you got. Okay. If I'm white and I have some experience of how white people treat each other, unless I say, and I say I'm white now, it's a dog eat dog world, that mankind is innately evil and we are innately greedy. And I say, instead of saying my people are, or white people are, I say mankind is. What's the impact of that? That's an example of using a universal term like mankind. That's why it's called universalism. It's using a term that would apply to all people. And what I'm saying may be true about my people. Y'all understand that? Universalism. Mankind is. Or let's speak about the world. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Banking started, it's like, well, really? Banking started, in Europe? How could that be? Okay, do you see what I'm saying? So it's sometimes using universal statements and sometimes making phrases as if they're kind of universal and true, okay? And this doesn't matter to me whether Europeans are intending to do this or not. The impact of it is to promote white supremacy, to promote their view as if their view is the world view. I want you to type that down. It promotes their view as if it is the world view. Type in the text chat. Now, that may be unintentional, may be intentional. I'm not dealing with whether they intend to do it or not intend to do it. That's not important to me right now. What's important is that you develop the eyes and the ears so that you can hear someone speaking even in universal tones about their culture and you not buy it as if it is universal. Because how could banking start in 17th century, 15th century Europe, when in fact African civilizations, Asian civilizations existed and were much older than them. Civilizations where they built huge structures and had cities. You got to have an economy when you do that. Okay? We're not just talking about two or three people in a village in a hut where everybody can just barter. You're talking about thousands of people, sometimes hundreds of thousands of people. Okay? So it's important. So just know that universalism, the syntax of oppression, okay, that's a concept that's in the book Yorugu by Mama Marimba Ani, okay, who's an African-centered theorist, anthropologist, scholar extraordinaire, you may get to know her. You'll definitely, if you stay at IA, you get to meet her in this conference room, if not in person. She was a speaker at IA's graduation last year. Do you remember that, Allende?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. So that was spurred by, go back to the page now, the economic conundrum, the history of money. I want you to understand what is the history of money. Both, you will get some of the history of money from a European perspective. You also will get the history of money from an African perspective. Another thing that I expect for you to know how to answer and understand in a functional way, what is an economy? What is an economy? Take a shot at it right now. Let's do it quickly. What's an economy?
Okay. An economy is a system that a country or a nation works within to exchange currency.
All right. Good shot. Nemus, keep going, sir.
My understanding of it is that it's like a process or a system of like production and distribution.
Oh, excellent. Good part. Excellent. Together we'll come up with a tremendous definition. Type that in the text chat, both of you. What else? Speak to it, Abdullah. I don't know what that is. Give me your own words.
It's a system in which there's several liberal capital, land resources, economic agents socially participate in production, exchange, distribution, consumption of goods and services of the country.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
How would you say that in your own words, sir, if you were talking to somebody and they said, man, what's an economy?
I would probably end up saying it's an economy.
All right, fine. All right. All right. Next question, number three. You're gonna know what is money. So what is money?
Item that's in for something.
If somebody says currency, what's currency? Could we use piano keys as money? Broken piano keys.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. There's, like, a form of money.
Ayende, come again. I didn't understand you.
I don't like it.
Listen, something's happening with your mic again, okay? Keep your hand down. Talk strong into your mic. Don't block it, okay? So we can hear you like we were hearing you earlier.
Okay, is this better?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I was saying you could, if that's what people, like if people wanted to run.
Okay. One of the things that we talked about in the economic, money is debt is, and this is a review because I see that some of you need it. I got your answers there. Sure, if we wanted to, if people value them. Typically and historically and particularly in terms of the European transition, one of the most highly prized metals was gold. So gold was used as a medium of exchange, correct? And then gold was replaced by what? Very good. Receipts and paper. And that those receipts or paper became what was traded. Is it necessary to have a precious anything behind the money, behind the paper, in order for it to be currency? Like, do you have to have a precious metal, gold, silver, diamonds? Why not? And where does the value come from?
If people just say, like, I mean, I could just use, like, this CD, like, that I'm staring at right now, I could just say, well, this is worth five something, and then five, or this is worth ten something, and then say, you know, this is going to be my new currency or whatever. I mean, it doesn't, as long as it has a value or some, or, yeah, as long as somebody has, like, puts a value on it, then I think that is currency, right?
Takes a little bit more than that. I mean, I can say my old hat, you know, I'm looking at a hat here that I really like. It's my brown hat. And I can put a value on it, but that doesn't mean that we could use it as currency.
Well, sure, you have to be like one of the leaders or something to do that. That's what I'm saying. Like, the leaders could get together and be like, well, today we're going to be using chips of plastic, or today we're going to be using headphones or something like that.
Well, where does the value come from if it doesn't come from gold?
I think the value comes from gold and diamonds. I think that comes from how much people work to get it.
I see. Well, that's an interesting philosophy. Y'all do know that gold, diamonds are plentiful, right? You do know that diamonds are not scarce, as they are purported to be. Yes, they are. You can go on the ground, pick them up. Go to Africa, and you can pick them up off the ground.
then why are they saying that they're scarce and stuff? You can just walk around, or why are they trying to?
So you can pay more money for them, son. That's all. That's why. I'm gonna try to give you that link that you can read after a class. There's a company called De Beers, and they promote the fake diamond scarcity to keep the price up. Let's see here. The company is D-E-B-E-R-S, De Beers. There are a number of them. You'll also find the De Beers commercial. I don't know if this one has the one, that's the one on Black Label, is the one about a scarcity. And don't do it now. That's for you later on, just so you can get to that. Okay, now, the couple things that you got to get out of money is debt, okay? All right. You have to get fractional reserves, okay? You got to know what those are and how they work, all right? Because in order for you to understand the current economic system, you know, fractional reserves are there. Also, this is an allegory, so everything in it is nothing have to be factually true. They're not trying to make it all historically accurate. They really want to teach you some key pieces, one of which is fractional reserves. The key word there is fraction, okay? And you want to know what that is. You also want to deal with a word called fiat currency. Now in that video, Money as Debt, they by the way they set up the allegory, it implies, though they don't say it, that in order for you to have not have all of the stuff negative happen, you have to have a like gold standard. Now the other movie that you were asked to watch, or the video, which is The Secret of Oz. All right. Tavon, have you watched that and taken notes every 10 minutes?
Yes, I have.
All right, good. Let me see your notes page, okay? I want to see it broken down by 10 minutes. Here are your notes. Here's your notes. Here's what you got. I want to see what you got, you know, if you have it broken down. See, you give me your notes. Allende, have you watched The Secret of Oz?
Yeah, I watched it last week.
Good. Well, that's your job, is to watch it again and take good notes, okay? And in your notes should be vocabulary words and questions. Anything that comes up that you're not clear about, you want to be able to put it there. All right, great. Abdullah and Nima, I see your pages. Wonderful. We're going to back to them before this class is over. Excellent. So now let's... back to all right, good. All right, now in that movie of The Secret of Oz, they actually have another view about the gold standard, and their view is that the gold standard is not a good one. And why do they think that? Abdullah, Nima, or Tavon, or Allende, since all of you watched it. Why do they argue against a gold standard?
Okay, they argue against a gold standard because it was the banks needed more control over the people, and without the gold standard, the banks had more control because they had all the money. They wanted to pay the money for it.
Well, you just But you just said without the gold standard, they have more control. So which one is it?
Well, basically, it's like the banks were addicted to the power that they had with the gold standard, and without the gold standard, they wouldn't have the power that they had. So, of course, if you were given, just think about it, if you were given the power and because of some rules, and then they wanted to change those rules, and you wouldn't have power, you would be fighting against that, too. I know I would.
Actually, your analysis is not accurate there. The banks actually were for moving away from the gold standard. That's who promoted it.
I think they're against the gold standard because with the gold standard, they have an actual value to the money. Now it would just be debt, like in the other video, and so into the gold standard was like a cause of a depression. So so without it. Yeah, without it, it will probably go into a depression because there was no actual actual value behind the money they were issuing out to a bunch of people.
Nope, not true either. The depression and inflation had nothing whatsoever to do with whether it's a gold standard or not a gold standard. It's important for you to understand the major parts of what he's talking about in when he says debt-free money, that is not directly relating to the gold standard. The argument against the gold standard is that, of course, to base the standard on scarcity does keep the people who have the gold more in charge. Okay. At the same time, the bankers moved away from the gold standard, And what he's talking about there is something called the Federal Reserve. What did you learn about the Federal Reserve?
Okay, I learned that the Federal Reserve it was a private bank. I didn't know that, and I know that the government, that's where they borrow, that's where they get all their money from whenever they need it for like wars and stuff like that. And then they have to pay it back to the Federal Reserve. And let me check my note. I believe it was started by the Lion of silver.
Nope, absolutely not. Keep going.
President Bryan, no, he ran for president. His name is Bryan. He's the one who started it after he
Okay, there are six different struggles over the period of U.S. history between the bankers who wanted debt-based money and those who wanted debt-free currency. Okay, debt currency is where the government, now this is not back then, this still exists today. Whenever Barack Obama wanted to do an $787 billion economic stimulus package to get the economy jump started after the crash in 2007, the government didn't have the money. So can you imagine that? The government doesn't have the money. So where does the government go to get money? The government goes, and in this case, the government goes to what's called the central bank or the Federal Reserve, which is a group of private bankers. And let's say let's make it even, and let's say he borrows $100,000. Because he wants to give Tavon some jobs and Nima some, jobs so she can build her studio, and Abdullah some get some scholarships. So he wants to make sure that University of Maryland gets some money, and want to make sure that Berkeley gets some money so he can give Allende a scholarship. And so he gets $100,000, and he borrows that from bankers in the name of the country. Pick an interest rate that he has to pay back. Just anyone. This is totally hypothetical. 7%. How much?
7%.
Okay, so the bankers say 7%. And so how much money has he got to pay back? How much money do the citizens of the United States have to pay back to the bankers?
Okay, and you said out of how much money?
$100,000. We're making it easy. Do the math. Everybody, Allende, don't nobody sit on the, you know, fire up the text chat with your figures. Don't wait on somebody else. Oh, that's all they got to pay back, $7,000?
Yeah, $7,000.
That's all they got to pay back. He borrowed $100,000. All they got to do is pay $7,000 back.
Yes. No, each citizen has to pay back.
Man, I love dealing with y'all. I deal with y'all all day. Y'all will lend me $100,000, and all I got to do is pay you $7,000 back?
No, each person has to pay $7,000 back.
Each person? How'd you get that?
You get 7% of. Oh, no, we're talking about interest rate. Sorry. No, it will be $7,000 added on to that, and so it will be $100,000. It'll be $107,000.
Okay, so I got to pay you my $100,000 back because that was borrowed money. So Barack Obama got to pay $100,000, and then he got to pay $7,000 on top of that. Well, where is he going to get the $7,000 from? Oh, no, all of it's got to come from us, but if we didn't have it, where are we going to get it from? Because this $100,000 he got, he distributed it to you, okay? So even if you gave it back to him, and just say each one of you, you know, got a portion, and you gave him the portion back, okay, then where are you going to get the other $7,000? Oh, Nima says, so he got to get a loan. But he's got to, you mean he got to get a loan to pay back a loan?
And that brings inside.
How is the country ever going to get out of debt? That's right. That's right. That's what you need to understand. Okay. Now, there are other systems that don't work like that. That's not how an economy has to work. You don't have to have essentials. And in this country, and you, when you watch this, because I want you to know, I want you to be able to say the dates, the time, the places. What that video shows is the struggle over time in this country between those who were for a independent currency that's not debt-based and gold standard or not, and those who work for a gold standard. And the whole piece of the symbolism in Oz was the folks who were saying they wanted the silver is basically at that time the bankers were operating with the gold standard and still using the debt-based currency. Now they continued with a debt-based system even after they relinquished the gold standard. So I want you to get sidetracked by the gold standard. I mean, it's important just to know it, but because what we got to know about that is that the value in currency is not in the material. It is in what's valued behind it. That is what it stands for. So whether it's Abdullah's CD, whether it's cowrie shells, whether it's cow dung, whether it's tally sticks, whatever it is, it has to represent value. But that value does not have to be material. For example, and this is a homework assignment for you, you all will have to read Making Our Own Sense. This is an article by Ife she wrote for in Economic Conundrum 1. Safia also wrote one. She can't find hers, or else you'd be assigned to read hers as well. So you're going to read it because there's a statement that she makes in there, and that is the value of money, of currency, is based on an agreement between people. Another thing that you might put in your notes, for those you missed it, Nima already has it in hers, and it's in the text chat. We mentioned Mansa Musa. Now, Nima, why did we bring up Mansa Musa when we were discussing this issue of gold standard and money as debt?
I think that was a story where, oh right, because he was the one that was really rich, and he went around giving a lot of money to the people, and it like decreased the value of it.
Okay, I need you to be a little more specific than that. First, who is Mansa Musa, and when did he live? When did he make his trek? Okay. Mansa Musa. Look at the text chat. You'll find the link there. In the 13th century, this is an African king from Mali, or Mali, depends on what emphasis, right? That is the land of Sunjata, the land of the Dogon, the land of Timbuktu, the land of the University of Sankore. And he converted to Islam, and being a devout Muslim, and upon his conversion, he then made a trip to Mecca, that is to Kemet.
There's no link in the text chat.
I'm talking about the text chat where we covered this 2 weeks ago. I'm not talking about now. I didn't put it in here now. I'm saying go back to the other one. It's on the assignment page. Okay. I mean, everything I'm doing now is a review. Okay, because we covered this, but Abdullah has not been ready. Tavon and Ayende have not been ready, okay? And you need to review as well, because you're not clear on some things I want you to get clear on, okay? So, Mansa Musa made this trip to Mecca, and I want you to find out about it, know some of the details about it, okay? Yes, that's the link that we used, so y'all can click there. And we clicked down to the section that says Islam and Pilgrimage to Mecca. All right, read paragraph 2. Nima, start reading paragraph 2. Ayende, read paragraph 3. And Abdullah, read paragraph 4. Go for it.
In 1324, his procession reported to include 60,000 men, 12,000 captives, heralds dressed in silks who bore gold staffs, organized horses, and handled bags. Musa provided all necessities for the procession, feeding the entire company of men and animals. Also in the train were 80 camels, which varying reports claimed carried 300 pounds of gold. Musa not only gave to the cities he passed on the way to Mecca, including Cairo and Medina, also traded gold for souvenirs. Furthermore, in his that he built a mosque each and every Friday. Musa's journey was documented by several eyewitnesses along his route who were... Oh, wait. That's not right. Never mind.
Very good, Nima. Next.
Okay. Musa's journey was documented by several eyewitnesses along his route who were on his well. The procession and records exist in a variety of sources, including journals, oral accounts, and historians. Musa was known to have visited with Mamluk Sultan al-Nasr Muhammad of Egypt in July of 1324.
All right, Abdullah, so Tavon is clocked out, dealing with some computer problems. Pick up the last... Oh, you were signing that anyway, I'm sorry.
Musa's generous actions, however, inadvertently devastated the economy of the rain. In the cities of Cairo, Medina, and Mecca, a sudden influx of gold devalued the metal for the next decade. Prices on goods and wares superinflated in an attempt to adjust the newfound wealth that was spreading throughout the local population. To rectify the gold market, Musa borrowed all the gold he could carry for money lenders in Cairo at high interest. It is the only time for energy and one may directly control the price of gold in the Mediterranean.
Okay, so I got a question. Y'all have shops in ancient Kemet. This is 1324, okay? That's the 12th century. And you're selling iPods or whatever. And I live in Cairo. And this beautiful black man gives me 200 pieces of gold. And you selling your iPods for 2 pieces of gold. Why, if gold is the standard and gold is what's valued, why is the economy wrecked? Why is there inflation? Why can't I get my 200 things of gold and I go to your shop and I give you your 2 pieces of gold and you happy because you get sold your iPod for what you've been trying to sell it for, except for you only could sell it to some people. Now you can sell it to some more people. What's the problem?
Well,
obviously, they said here there's a problem. It devastated the economy of the region.
Well, yeah, it's like if you see somebody walking, if I was in that situation, and you know now people are carrying around 200, 300 pieces of gold, and I feel like I'm kind of getting cheated because I'm only selling myself only 2 gold when I could be selling it for more. So I start rising my prices, which they did mention inflation in the paragraph.
Oh sure, but what's inherently inflationary about it? There's nothing inherently. Is the issue that gold the standard or is scarcity the standard? See, if gold is the standard, then you got more of it. Or is scarcity the standard? Very good, Nima. Scarcity is the standard. That's the real standard. Scarcity. Who controls it? How much? Okay. Who controls how much of it? This is why societies, certain societies, Europeans particularly, use a so-called precious metal and seek to control it. Because then they can control the money supply. Okay. That's not the only way it can be. We can create currency among ourselves with no gold necessary. I can say we're going to create something called the Aya Hour. And this bill is called the Aya Hour. And this bill is worth $15. And that's worth an hour's worth of work. So I do 4 hours work. I got $45. I got 4 of these Aya Hours. And I decide that, you know, I want to pay Tavon to take me up in his plane. And he says, well, that's going to be $30. Excuse me, I said 4, so that would be $60. So I give him 2. He said, bet. And we could create our own currency, as people have done. But there's no, and he takes the 2 that I give him, and he goes to Nima and says, Nima, I really like that drawing. I'll pay you, you know, for it. And he pays us in these Aya Hours. And then she goes to Allende and says, Allende, you know, I got to have a score. I got to have some music to go along with this video that I'm doing. So, but where's the gold? There's no gold, but we got a currency. But now, there has to be value in these hours. So what's the value then in that situation?
The hours of work.
That's right. Our labor, our skill, our smarts. We agree, and we have an agreement between us, that we will honor this. And the value is not in something that's a metal. The value is in our labor, our smarts, our skills. Okay. So you know, I want you to have that as you are. And obviously, the value was not in gold, given that Mansa Musa comes and brings all this gold. The guy who got iPod, he got his more gold. You don't have to raise your prices just because whatever. You don't have to feel you cheated. You set your prices. You just get you. In fact, you're glad you got more people. You know, in fact, that's how Walmart and many companies do it. They don't raise their prices. They just get to a bigger market. They got more people. And sometimes they even lower the prices, but because they have greater volume. So inflation is not inherent. Inflation is not automatic. Again, I want you to challenge these assumptions. I want you to write that down. Inflation is not inherent, nor is it automatic in a monetary system. There is no reason that something that cost $10 30 years ago should cost $100 now. No reason. Write that down, everybody. Thank you, Nima. Everybody, type it. Inflation is not inherent, nor is it automatic. Welcome back, Tavon. Tavon, we'll just talk about inflation and money. You need to get some of that from your classmates in terms of how it would work. But now you all will need to read Ife's article on that. And she talks about, she does research and finds 40 different communities operating in the United States who have their own currency, and they use it as a supplemental currency to supplement. Okay, so that's a homework assignment. Does everybody know how to get to the link? Get to that article. It's at the. All right, just a minute. Okay, when you click there, you're at our iEducation Institute site, and do you see under the tab there something that says "Making Our Own Sense"?
Okay.
Now.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't see it. Thank you, Nima. Now, you got to take notes on this. Everybody, I got to affirm that you can see it and open it. And you don't have to read it now. Come on, Allende, do you see it, son? Come on, Abdullah, do you see it?
Yes, I put the link to the whole thing in the text.
Oh, you did? All right, thank you, son. I'm sorry I missed that. You did. Very good. Okay, so... your homework is to read this, okay? And what I'm hoping is that your, writings, grace that bottom part of that page, okay? And now this, Abdullah, was written when she was in 11th grade, not as a senior. She wrote this in the 11th grade, okay? So this is the kind of standard, all right? You're expected to be able to write to, okay? Not the little couple of paragraphs, but with some research and some in-depth stuff and stuff to make some sense. All right, so that's your homework. Now let's get back to our page that details what the... yes, sir?
So all you want to do is take notes on it?
Son, read it for understanding. And take notes on it. Read it to understand. That means you come back with questions you don't understand. That means you put vocabulary words in your vocabulary page for this class, okay, that you ought to have for this class, because there are many different terms you're going to need to know, okay? And so your job is to understand the paper. And you come back with questions if you don't understand it. And if you do understand it, then that's great. I will be expected that you understand it. And please, you can ask any questions about anything in it. Ask it of yourself, each other. You could look up some other things. But you don't just do it and take notes. You consume it. You digest it. You say, "Oh, I know what the main points are," or "I know what the points in this section, in this section, in this section is." So you know how to put it together and explain what this author means. Okay. And as you write, you can quote her, just as other students will quote you. That's just how we roll here. All right, let's get back to what you expected to learn out of this course. All right, that's the link back to it. So we were just dealing with what is money. We're also going to be dealing with number 4, money and power. Including what makes you want to do what you want to do, the psychology of oppression and economy. The psychology of oppression and economy. See if we can pick up. Oh, that's crazy. I'll just give you a little. All right, to get a sense of that. All right, take a minute and listen to this. Click on that link and listen to it. Let me know when you start it and when you're done. Take notes as you're listening. Alright, folks, we're on number 4, money and power. What makes you want to do what you want to do? The psychology of oppression and economy. What did you just listen to have to do with oppression and economy?
Because it keeps us, it's like a circle. We don't stand with each other. We support people who don't support us, and then it's like it keeps us dependent on them, so we shop at these supermarkets. We don't have our own foundation.
You didn't, where's the psychology part? You left the psychology part all out. Come on, you got to deal with psychology and economy. You just dealt with the economy part. What's the psychology part, Tavon?
Probably.
He just either said it or not. He just mentioned it to you. Just listen to it. What's the psychology part? Come on.
Us relying on them.
No. Wrong. You know, keep listening. All right, who else? What's the psychology part? Very good.
The feeling that since you're degraded and you feel less than, then you have to go and spend money.
That's right. And what he's saying is that's not just just to be mean and racist, although that's there too, but it's economically functional. So who projects black as ugly and would have it so that associates black with criminality and big nose with ugliness until white people start getting collagen injections and big butts as ugly until white women start getting silicone in their butts? Who does that? Who's responsible for that?
The white people are in charge of the economy.
That's right, white folks. White folks who are in power. So you are left, so your hair got to be fried, dyed, and laid to the side, okay? You got to bleach your skin, try to get light, bright, damn near white, okay? So as a result of the social manipulations, then you're made to believe yourself less than, okay? Ugly, unkempt, not smart, not whatever, not good. And to compensate for that, what do people do when they are not feeling good about themselves? How do they compensate for that in ways that support a particular direction of the economy? They more, isn't it?
Spend money on their products, which is helping them.
That's right. So you got to have, how big are the rims now? What's cool? What's a good rim size if you're supposed to be really into it? Anybody into rims?
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the rims you put on your car, right?
That's right. Rims you put on your car. Not the basketball rims. What's the jersey to have these days if you're really going to be into them? What's the jersey you're supposed to have? You're going to be somebody.
You said the jersey?
Yeah, what's the jersey? I'm just saying, what's the jersey you're supposed to wear if you're going to be somebody?
Knicks.
All right, fine. You got the Knicks, okay. Somebody else may, you know, what's the car you're supposed to drive if you're going to be somebody?
Benz.
What? Talk louder, son.
A Benz.
Benz, okay. We got Benz, BMW, okay. So the point is, believes ourselves less than, okay, then to compensate for that, we're compelled. It's not just that we like the cars, we got to do it. So we pay more for it than we can really afford. That is, we make decisions to support those who made us feel less than in the first place, or who, you know, projected that and we bought it, and we go and support them. So the way the money flows is directed by the psychology and the sociology. So we're going to explore that more, okay? But remember that link, and you're going to have to know that that whole quote. You're going to have to know it and be able to explain what's there. And number four, we're dealing with power and money, the psychology of oppression and the economy. Number five, money and debt. We already started talking about a little bit about that. We'll talk some more about money and debt, both from a macro place of the country, but also other countries, and the debt that our people are in this country. Also, you see number six, debt, Haitian debt. We'll compare that. What does it mean when a country is in debt? Speaking of what, is the U.S. in debt?
You said, is what in debt?
Is the United States in debt? To whom? Who is the U.S. biggest, who holds most of the, a large percentage of the U.S. notes? Very good, Nima. China. Very good, Allende. And we're indebted to the Federal Reserve. Thank you, Allende. Very good. Now, for every bit of money that the U.S. government goes in debt, that means you and I are supposed to pay. You do understand that, right? Your tax dollars, service, and right now, if 100%, if your mother and father were taxed to the tune of 100%, that is, if every dollar they made was taken to go for taxes with leaving no money for food or shelter or anything, then it still wouldn't pay off the U.S. debt. You with me on that?
Yeah.
All right, so you're going to understand that. There's a U.S. debt clock. You can click on that. We'll go into some of that. Then the social struggles regarding debt. Debt-based versus debt-free money from the American Revolution. Six times. Now, this is what I expect you to begin to look at. When you look at the story of Secret of Oz, I expect you to begin to look at the different times. When was debt-free money issued? When did the bankers get back in power? Okay. So you know that, and you know the people. You don't just know the lion. We want you to know the names of the people involved in that struggle. Okay? So that's what you're looking for when you're watching The Secret of Oz. In addition to the metaphor in terms of the symbolism in the story, according to the author. Number seven, when our nation's currency is the world's currency and when it's not, the world's exchange currency. China and Russia have decided that they're no longer going to deal in American dollars. So when Russia wants to buy arms from China, or China wants to buy arms from widgets, and then they're no longer will trade in American currency. What does that mean for you and me? All right. Number eight, the social struggles regarding debt-based versus debt-free. Oh, we already dealt with that. Number eight. Excuse me. Number nine, the Federal Reserve. You get to know. We mentioned that. Gold standard versus fiat money. Okay, now is it fiat money if the four of us decide that we're going to, excuse me, the five of us decide that we're going to have an economy among each other and we use Abdullah's CDs as a medium of exchange? Is that fiat money?
I would think so, because the definition of fiat money is money that's not backed by precious metals.
Very good. Absolutely. So I don't want you to automatically think that fiat money is automatically bad. The real bad is how it's handled. Okay. Also, number 11, the social implications of both. All right. Number 12, African economies and money before European invasion. Gee whiz. You know, certainly we had to have monies, right? We had to have an economy, right, Allende?
Yes.
And was our economy based on, we had taxes, we collected taxes, you know, we built cities, you know, we maintained them, we had, you know, water and pipes. Y'all do know that we had two-story buildings and water pipes with spigots. I'm talking about way before the 12th century. You'll learn it. Well, we had to do that, you have to pay people. You have to have a whole system of artisans and skilled people. So we're going to know a little bit about that. And then making our own currency. Garvey dollars, is that possible? What's needed? Why a good thing? How could it work? You're starting to get into that. These are some of the resources. And as you see here, there are some of the assignments. As well as, now here's what's already been assigned on the 24th. Review the notes from the video. Yeah, it is your notes from each one of the videos. You stop those videos at 10 minutes apart, and you make sure you type what's there, and then you continue from there, and then you have a complete sense of it. And you're also able to go back, so you write down the 10-minute sections, because if you try to find something, you don't have to listen to the whole video again. You got two things. You got text chat. You got audio to listen to if you haven't done it. Complete and view the notes on the Secret of Oz. Answer in writing the questions posed by previous students. We had groups. This is based on money as debt. Prepare for a quiz based on the above. Plus classroom discussion. Remember the vocabulary too, fiat money, Mansa Musa, and the key discussion areas, gold standard versus fiat. Is gold key to money value? Why did gold mean higher prices? Is money based on scarcity? Why universalism, syntax of oppression? Whose money, what paper? And also the Song Dynasty in China. This class has been a review because this was already covered on the 24th. Now, it's okay. On my reviewing, y'all know what y'all got to do, right? Y'all got to step it up. The additional work that I put on you today is for you to review the notes, save the text chat yourself, post it so that you can find it. Do not depend upon me to do it. I will do it sometimes. I'm preparing you when you go to college, when you go and start your own business. Ain't nobody going to take your notes for you. They're not going to write down the numbers for you. They're not going to keep your passwords for you. You got to do it. Okay? So, I will keep this list of assignments, add to them. And just as in your work writing with power class, when you've done it, you can also link on, and I create a column, and say that you've done them. In the meantime, if I haven't created a column, just do it right in the same thing where the assignments are so that I have your link there. Right now, you are to read Ife's article, digest it. What do I mean, digest it, Tavon?
Digesting it means understand it, take it and study it.
Very good. Come back with questions, comments, ready for discussion. Okay, because I want this class to take up for us to really look at how are we going to go to the next level. How can we make this really something that can work in our communities? Now, so you have 25 minutes. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to read for 15 and come back and discuss what you've read for the last 10. I'm got you going to the 30. Wow. You know, I keep doing that. And thank you for reminding me of that. All right. Use these. Well, tell you what. Then let's just finish this out. I want you to tell me anything you learned today that you didn't know before, whether you learned more of it, you knew some but didn't know, whether you got clear when you weren't clear, or something you didn't even know or hadn't thought about before from this class. Let me hear it loud. I want your voice.
Okay. One thing that I learned that I didn't, maybe I knew it, but I didn't realize it before, was in the audio that we listened to, the system, the psychological system of black people and spending money and why and how they do it.
Very good.
Okay. And one thing that I learned that I didn't know is that what's the definition of economy that we put together, and how when we don't spend with each other, it keeps us only like financially enslaved. It's kind of crazy.
Two things I've gotten clear on. Number one is the Federal reserve. I've gotten a little bit clearer on just exactly what that is. And secondly, just, I guess, the United States essentially just being in debt, like, all the time, and might not necessarily not getting out of debt. It might just be, like, for life.
All right. Abdullah?
One thing was that the whole diamond thing and how it wasn't how diamonds aren't rare. Like, you could walk around Africa and end up picking up a diamond. I'm like, well, I mean, that's like a pretty, you could take advantage of the fools out there, like, take, get a diamond, and be like, oh man, I found a diamond. I just thought that was a little funny. And also didn't really understand the whole fiat money thing, and I got some more clarity on that today.
All right. The last thing about fiat is like by decree, and when you're really not a part of government, then it seems like it's oppressive. But when we're the government, like when we decide among us here, the five of us here, that we're going to have these Aya hours and we're going to, you know, be clear about the denomination and we're going to honor them, then it's by our decree. You see? So the problem there is not the decree. You know, the problem is when you don't feel a part of the government, when you don't really have any say so and others, you know, impose it upon you, then that's the issue. But the issue then is not that it being fiat or that it's not have a gold standard. Is that you don't really have any say. All right. We've recorded this. You recorded it. Great. Please study the text chat and read it. And be ready for a quiz, okay? The quiz will be on two videos as well as the other stuff we had in this class. It will be on... on Wednesday, it'll be on both Secret of Oz. So if you got some questions about Secret of Oz, email them to me like before Wednesday. Okay? So don't wait till no Wednesday night to do it, because I expect that you will understand it. Just because it's old, we'd already assigned it, and I'm slowing things down to get to it. So I expect for you to... Now, I'm being clear. I want you to know the history of the struggle of those who were for debt base money and those who were for the bankers. Okay, I understand that you watched it. I understand that you also got to watch it again because you don't understand a lot about what you watched. Okay, you focus just on a couple of things, and I'm trying to tell you the different things I want you to focus on. You'll need to know the there. He mentions there are six times in U.S. history that bankers established the control, and you have the Federal Reserve, and then six times it was taken back. Now, some of those times he mentions the legislation, he mentions the people. Okay, one of them was when Lincoln issued the greenbacks. Okay, that was not money from the banks, so it wasn't debt-based money. Okay. You want to know the difference. Even though there's a gold standard issue and the gold versus the silver and all that, you understand that. But you also want to understand the major argument between debt-based money and debt-free money. You understand the national debt and what does that mean. Okay? Now, watch it. Email me. Call me if you got some questions, because we're going to have a quiz on it. It's going to be information from there will be in the quiz. So, Money as Debt, The Secret of Oz, and Ife's article. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. Go for it. Get to it. Take good notes. And I want to be able to see your notes and your vocabulary pages. So fiat currency ought to be on your vocabulary page. You ought to know how to spell it. Tally sticks. I can tell you right now. Tally sticks is something I want you to pay attention to in the secret of Oz. Tally sticks. So you know what a tally stick is and when it was used. What was the person's name? What was the time period? Okay? Now, this is not a slouching class. You can't slouch your way through it. You can't just, you know, get through it. You got to apply yourself to understand it. But you will benefit tremendously. Okay? It's just the eye of the way. We're also going to know a little bit. Let me just tell you in the last, I got 3 minutes. We're going to begin to analyze. Last time we taught it, the... Obama had just issued the $787 billion bailout. We looked at the housing industry. Let me give you that video, one more video for you to watch. It's an easy one. It won't be on your quiz, but it will be one that we'll deal with. Because we're also going to understand, when we're talking about the economic conundrum, is what's going on economically now. What's happening, you know, in that vein, are we out of the economic crisis? What is your opinion on that in the last 3 or 2 minutes? Are we out of the economic crisis?
No.
Give me some of the characteristics of the economic crisis. How you know we were in economic crisis? I'm sorry.
Well, to me, I mean, the whole system is an economic crisis because as long as we're using this system to as currency and this kind of money system, we're always going to be in a permanent economic crisis. It's something like the root of the problem.
Okay, that's true. And I'm particularly talking about this recent economic crisis, this most recent one, starting like 2007, 2000, bringing the head. Okay, so what is this crisis? How do we know you're in a crisis? People are talking about money is tight. This is, how do you know, what are the characteristics of this crisis for our community and for the nation? Anybody?
Well, for me personally, I haven't really been paying attention to it. I mean, it's just if I hear it on TV or I see it on TV, it's like, oh, it's people something going on in the economy. But, I mean, for me personally, of course, it hasn't affected me because, you know, I'm not really involved in all that. But since I'm not hearing it on TV anymore, it doesn't specifically mean there isn't one anymore. But I wouldn't know. I'm not, like, that educated on the actual crisis that recently happened to know if it's over or not.
Gotcha. You will be. Because the crisis that is now is dictates what you will be graduating into. Okay? And to have an education that just has you focus on way, way back, but not bring that so that you are prepared, so that you know how to make the decisions you make, so that you know how to understand what decisions your parents are making, so that you know what your parents are facing, is no real education at all, and that's not the Iowa way, okay? So while we will go way back in terms of history, we also will bring that way forward so that you understand what's going on now, what's driving the economic condition of your family, okay? You will learn what are the characteristics of this crisis, what are the causes of the crisis, where do we stand now?